This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This is from the 90s. Ba-ba-da-ba. This is a great album. Dookie was one of the... changed my life. Dookie. There was three albums in the 90s that really like impacted me for whatever reason. And one of them you're going to laugh at. But Dookie definitely impacted my life. I listened to it constantly. The Fugees, The Score, impacted my life. I loved Fugees, The Score, and I still will tell you, I know there's been a lot of female rappers since. Lauryn Hill is, in my mind, still the greatest. You know, she's just incredible on that album, and then The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. You know, her ability to sing and rap, is to me, is unparalleled. And then the other one's a bit weird, and I was listening to a song from it the other day, but you can't deny how good it is. And it's not really that weird. It's just, you know, for a, you know, sports guy, you know, Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill is a tremendous album. There are so many good songs on that album. That's another one that was like, just, I listened to Jagged Little Pill a lot. My sister was into it for whatever reason. So I remember, listening to it a lot, but those are three classic 90s albums. Jagged Little Pill, Alanis Morissette. Obviously, Dookie. I'm sure that there's obviously a ton more. I'm not trying to say it there. I mean, you know. Nevermind, I'm sure, is, you know, up there for a lot of people, too. There's a lot of classic albums from the 90s. Those are just three that were on my mind. And really, Jagged Little Pill, just because I heard You Ought to Know on the way home. And then I played a couple other songs. Head Over Heels is a great song. Anyway. All right. Did someone say spin the wheel? I think it's time to spin the wheel. So every day at 3 o'clock, I've made this decision because I'm such an Aaron Judge. Forget the Yankees and Boone shilling and the Cashman shilling. I am an Aaron Judge. Shill too. Aaron, I keep saying the wrong Aaron. I am an Aaron Rodgers apologist and shill. I want him on the Giants, and I think the Jets made a terrible mistake moving on from him. So much so, they can't even give me a good reason why they did it. So I made a decision that we were going to go through all the options, that the Jets were so sure this is the right thing to do. And the coach keeps telling you it's about winning now. So if it's about winning now, all right, let me see the quarterback that you have in place to go win now. And I know it's not just about the quarterback, and, you know, shame on me for continuing to talk about the quarterback. I don't want to piss you off, Aaron Glenn. But it's about the quarterback. So every day at 3 a.m., we spin the wheel of culture quarterbacks, and we see if we could find one who's better for winning this year, because that's what it's about, apparently. If we can find one that will help the Jets win this year more than Aaron Rodgers. So today It is now 3:09, but a little late, better late than never. It is time to spin the wheel of quarterbacks.
Jackson Dart looks at a 4-5 man front. Let's see if they bring pressure. And they will. Here comes a blitz up the gut. Dart's going to throw crossing route. Caught at the 35 to the 30. Harris may take it to the 15, to the 10. He heads to the far corner. Touchdown, Ole Miss.
Again, Jam Miller in the backfield next to Milrow. From the pistol, play action. He'll keep it himself. He runs right into the back of a blocker. Changes direction. Gets to the 5. Gets to the pylon. Got in. Touchdown, Alabama. What an improvisation there by Jalen Milrow.
Shuck has Brown to his right. Bell split out to the left. Here's Shuck retreating. Shuck throwing and caught.
Shotgun snap back to Ewers. Quinn on second out. Going deep for Helm. He caught it. Touchdown, Texas. How many times have we seen that this season? Ewers, a laser over the top to Gunnar Helm for a touchdown.
McCord takes the snap. Looks right. Throwing right. End zone. Trevor. Goal line. He's got it. Touchdown, Orange. What a throw. Kyle McCord is incredible.
Will Howard straight behind his center, Seth McLaughlin. Back to pass. Howard looks with pressure coming. Fires it up the left side toward the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Emeka Ibuka. He squeezes one in from 15 yards out. What a catch by Emeka Ibuka. What a throw by Will Howard.
All right, so today we got the other quarterbacks in the draft. The other day, we did Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. That would indicate either being lucky and having him fall to 7 or move up to trade one of those two quarterbacks. Here are the other quarterbacks that could possibly be a late-round pick. Now, Dart, I think, if you're going to want him, Jackson Dart specifically, I think you're going to have to take him 7th if you want him. So that you could kind of, he's riding the line between these two groups of quarterbacks that we've had here on Spin the Wheel. But here's the fact of the matter. Like, you could draft these guys, and they probably should. One of the highlights you just heard, one of the quarterbacks, whether it's Dart, again, Dart, I don't think they're going to be able to draft unless they want to take him 7th, which I don't think they will. But Milrow, Ewers, McCord, Howard, Shuck, like one of these quarterbacks should be in Jets camp next year. They should be drafting a young quarterback for the future. But that's not what they want. That's not this year. And I still think you could have done that while still having Aaron Rodgers. In fact, that would have been one hell of a plan. You draft a young quarterback you believe in with the second or third pick, and you have Aaron Rodgers to help guide him. So drafting these guys, sure, one of them might show up, but they are not going to be the starters for the New York Jets. They are not a legitimate option for the New York Jets. They are not someone that's going to step in even in, you know, the next year or two. The Jets have to go, and it's about winning now, Aaron Glenn, isn't it? It's about winning now. It's what he keeps saying. Everything's a football decision about winning now. None of those guys are the option for winning now. So we put it on the wheel because it is an option, I suppose, for the New York Jets. But I think the verdict for this one, as we think long and hard about how to respond to one of these secondary quarterbacks that they could be drafting in the second or third round or even fourth round as an option to be in the room along with whoever they decide is the best starting quarterback. As of right now, it seems like it's Tyrod Taylor. So how do we think, what's our response to today's section of the Wheel of Quarterback?
La 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 la. I am not listening to Jeffrey, but he's still talking. I am not listening to you.
I'm not listening. I don't even want to hear it. It's not even worth the discussion. It's over. That's not the quarterback of this year, and it's about winning. And what kind of players does Aaron Glenn want? What's the kind of quarterback that Aaron Glenn would see leading his team?
Listen, I look for guys that love football. I look for guys that are highly competitive, and I look for guys that endear themselves to their teammates. We're looking for smart, tough, aggressive, and resilient players.
I'm still wondering how that's not Aaron Rodgers, but, I mean, smart, I don't know if anybody's smarter. Tough, I mean, he battled through how many injuries, endeared himself to his teammate. You had to talk to your players to shut up about how much they liked Aaron Rodgers. Loves to play football, I mean, other than a quick moment in the darkness retreat, he's now still trying to do it at 42 years old. He took a pay cut with you last time. He was willing to take a pay cut with you again. So, I mean, every word describes Aaron Rodgers. Does it describe Jackson Dart or Kyle McCord or, you know, Milrow? I don't know. So I can't give you a negative opinion on that because maybe all of those things will fall true for one of these quarterbacks, but it is not going to be the option for the New York Jets. It should be Aaron Rodgers. And you know what? For the Giants, too. Oh, man, can you imagine? You draft Cam Ward, you bring in Aaron Rodgers for a year. That would be as good as it could. I would be so excited for this upcoming season. You win now with a pissed off, hungry Aaron Rodgers. And then you go draft a quarterback, and you have the quarterback of the future 1 year. He gets to stick it to the Jets, playing in that building for the Giants. He's hungry. His motivation is to go out there and recapture his name and not have his career end with the disaster that was last year, as opposed to Matthew Stafford's motivation, which is get paid. Matthew Stafford is happy the second he signs the contract. Aaron Rodgers is out there trying to defend his life, which is another great movie. There's no Gene Hackman in it, but Albert Brooks, defending your life with Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep. Excellent film. I'm sure the other guys on the side other side of the glass have seen that one. You guys seen? Do you know who Albert Brooks is?
I need a picture.
Do you know who Albert Brooks is?
He's in Finding Nemo.
Yeah, he's in Finding Nemo. Yes, he is. They don't even know who Albert Brooks is. What am I doing? What are we doing here?
By the way, defending your life, what year, if you had to guess?
I would guess somewhere in between 88 and 92.
Correct. 1991.
1991. That's a really good movie.
My parents weren't married yet.
Your parents weren't married yet. Yeah. I suppose. Yeah, I mean, listen, I was seven, I mean, or whatever I was. So, I mean, yeah, that's a seven or eight. It's a long time ago, but that's a great movie. That's a really good movie. It's about when you die, you don't just go to heaven. You go to this area and you literally get a lawyer and you defend your life. And they go through like 3 or 5 days of your life. And there's a defense attorney that you have, and there's a prosecutor and a judge. And they go over the different moments of your life and they decide whether or not you're worthy to go to heaven or beyond, or whatever you want to call it, or if you need to do it again and get reincarnated and go back into another human body and try this whole life thing again. It was very interesting.
Sounds like a very religious movie that definitely wouldn't work on today's society.
No, but it's really not that religious, believe it or not. You're in this like area. They put you in a resort. Everything you eat is delicious. Like, it's the best thing you've ever had. Everything's great. You have fun. And then you just wait and you defend your life. And it pretty much the point of it is overcoming fear is pretty much what they're looking for. It was a good movie. Check it out. Al Brooks, very good. 888-808-1019. It's movie night here. Why not?
Have you seen Upload, which is the TV show on Amazon?
I have not. What's Upload?
This to me is fascinating, where mm-hmm. you have on your, like, you have a microchip and you can, after you die, you can upload it to like a retirement community.
Okay.
Like your consciousness lives on.
Your consciousness lives on. Okay. But do they put it in a body form or no?
So it's in a body form, and also it's basically while you're alive, however much money you have, also when you die, you could pay for a better version.
Oh, sure, sure.
More megabytes, you know, yeah. Otherwise you're just frozen or you're living in like a prison cell. Essentially.
Right, I gotcha. Yeah, speaking about interesting concepts, me and my wife just started the first season of Severance.
I was going to say, please say Severance. I just watched the new episode tonight.
They're putting out new episodes weekly?
It's Friday, yes.
Oh, they didn't just release the whole season.
Mm-mm.
Oh, very cool.
Doing that with White Lotus also now.
Well, yeah, and HBO does that, though. That's still an HBO thing. HBO shows still do that. Other than that, it's all just, for the most part, the season's given out.
It's been the last 7 weeks has been season two of Severance.
Oh, cool. So we're watching season one now. Interesting concept, obviously. The idea that you kind of become two different people. Your work, but to be the work person is a nightmare. Like, I can't get over that fact that like they're that most of them, other than like as I'm watching the new recruit, the woman, she has a major problem with it. But like they've all bought into it. Like every moment of your existence is at the office. I don't know.
But they don't know better.
They know better.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
How would they know better? That's their whole existence. Like for example, I'll give you a simple example.
But they understand that there's more to existence. They know there's an outside world. They just, and they understand that they have an outside half of themselves who gets to go do things.
Right, but like the celebrations, when they hit milestones and they give them like a childish celebration, right? You have a 5-minute dance party or whatever breakfast or whatever it is. those things are there to show you that they literally don't know better, that they have no concept. Like, it's so small until this woman comes in and starts changing their,
right,
their mindset. How
no,
they
but
look
I
at
do,
it.
But they do. Okay, I don't want to. We don't have to get into a big debate of seven. But like, they do have the understanding, like, of the outside world. Like, the guy was given an opinion on what why he thinks they're in there. He's like, well, if someone were to do this, there must be feast, there must be famine. They're like, so they understand that the outside world exists. They understand that they leave and become another person, and that their whole life is in this office. Like, it's not like it's not like Truman Show, where he doesn't literally understand that there is more out there, kind of. Like, they do. They know they're trapped. So they're trying to send messages to themselves to get out. But I hear what you're saying. Like, they don't actually experience it, so they don't know better. But they are aware that the outside world exists, right? Because she knew Delaware was a state. She knows that, you know, I'm sure they're aware of, like, you know, that Aaron Judge is better than Juan Soto. Like,
exactly,
they know,
yeah,
they know those things. They just don't have any memory of their own personal life. So, but I think, but it, I never put that together. I've only seen a couple episodes. I haven't seen the waffle party or anything, but when he makes the announcement, he took pictures of them like he was in kindergarten or he was doing,
right,
something.
They treat them like children.
Yeah, I'm just learning that. I never put that together. It is kind of like children, yeah. But it's an interesting show. I don't think I could live with just like every waking moment. All of a sudden, I leave the elevator, and then next thing I know, I'm in different clothes and I'm opening the elevator.
Well, think like about how great the other side of it is. It's like I'm opening the elevator. I'm
free.
Always on vacation.
Yeah, I'm always free. It's awesome to be the other way. But you're torturing the other you. Very weird. I don't know. 888-808-1019. Andy in Freehold. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Chris. What's up, man?
What's up,
I listen every night, man. I love
you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I love you.
Dude, I had a wisdom tooth pulled around 4, so I'm a little loopy.
A little less wise.
Well, I got a Yanks question.
Sure.
A movie question. And a music question. Which one do you want first?
You surprise me. You throw them at me in any which way you want.
I know you love the Beatles.
I do love
Beatles.
The Beatles.
It's all you talk about.
That's not true, but I do love the Beatles.
Do you ever talk about Bruce?
Not really. I don't have that.
You give
connection.
Him any respect?
Oh, of course. I mean, I don't talk about a lot of people that I respect. I just happen to be a big Beatles guy. I love the Beatles. I'm a huge Queen fan. I think Freddie Mercury is the greatest lead singer and lead man of a band in rock and roll history. I love Queen. I love the Doors.
Top three for sure.
Yeah, I think he's my favorite front man in rock history. I think L.A. Woman is arguably my favorite non-Beatle album. I think it's tremendous. Bruce Springsteen is great. I love Bruce. But here's what I always say about Bruce, because for some reason, and maybe it's because I grew up on Long Island, Bruce and Billy Joel always kind of get like compared.
Right.
And I've always said, and I don't know how you're going to take this as a big Bruce guy, I've always said that for me, the best of Bruce Springsteen is better than the best of Billy Joel. But like the top, if you were to just take the top 10 Bruce songs and the top 10 Bruce Springsteen songs, I would say that 9 out of 10 or even all 10, I would say the Bruce Springsteen songs are the best. But the next like 103 are all Billy Joel.
I love
the best of Bruce. I am not a deep cut.
Okay.
I'm not a deep cut Bruce guy. I think a lot of his songs are kind of long wind. I don't know. I'm just not the huge. I don't listen to just a Bruce album. I kind of get bored with an entire album. But some of it, like,
right,
you know, Thunder Road is one of the great songs in rock history in my mind. I love it. I'm a big fan of his best of album and stuff. But I'm not a huge just like put on The River and listen to the entire album where
right,
I can listen to The Stranger. I can listen to Glass Houses. I can I can listen to some of those things. But yeah, Bruce is great.
All right, that's a very fair answer, man.
Okay.
I thought you were going to be a little tougher than that.
Mm-mm.
All right,
like Bruce.
Point two.
Yes.
A good friend of mine works in production in that movie business. I promise you with all my heart, they're making Meet the Parents 4 right now.
They're making it right now, Meet the Parents 4.
Yeah, I know 3 sucked, like you said earlier.
Okay, yeah, I didn't
One
like
and 2 were great. I don't know if we can say the name on the air, but...
Amazing. You could say Meet the Fockers. That's the name of the movie. They put it on the posters.
Meet the Fockers. Yeah, yes. All right. Anyway.
Just make sure you say it
right.
The
most important, though.
Yes.
Well, third, Willie Randolph, my favorite Yankee of all time, number 30, number one in my heart. Who are we putting at third base this year? What's the real answer? I need a real answer. Yanks are third. It's not DJ. You know it's not.
I don't know it's not. I honestly think...
Come on.
I honestly think... Here's my honest thought. I think it's an open competition. I don't think as much as he... I think they were willing to cut him, if you believe the stories at the end of last year. That's how bad he was. I think they're willing to give him a chance. I think it's an open competition between the three. And I don't know if all things are equal, they all play exactly the same, or, you know, they feel like no one distinguished themselves. I think there's a chance it's DJ because I think they like Oswaldo Cabrera as the bench guy. I think they like his ability to play multiple positions and, you know, switch hit so you can call on him at any time in the pinch hit situation, and you won't get a lefty on lefty or a righty on righty. You'll have a switch hitter. He plays every position on the field, including outfield. So I think unless he blows them away and is far better than DJ, I don't think it's going to be Oswaldo Cabrera because I think they like him on the bench and what he gives them there. That's why I said I'm hoping Peraza has a really good camp and takes the job. But I'm hoping they trade for Nolan Arenado. When you say a real answer, what can I tell you? Right now, all I can give you is one of the three options that they have. And one of the three only three options right now are Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Peraza, and DJ LeMahieu. And something tells me that if everything is equal between Peraza's the only one. Peraza's the one that jumps out at me as a real possibility to win the third base job because he's got no options. And unless they can trade him, I don't think they want to just lose him. Like, this is a guy who had a ton of value. Like, there was a moment in time where Brian Cashman had a ton of value on his hands with Oswald Peraza. And now he has none. And so if he doesn't play him, if he doesn't make the roster, they're going to lose him. Now, if he's not good enough, they'll deal with it. But if he's even close to, I think that's best case scenario. To me, best case scenario is this young prospect finally comes into his own, has a great camp. You know he's a great defender. He outwardly wins the third base job. They get rid of DJ LeMahieu and they have put Oswaldo Cabrera on the bench. That's what I think is the best case scenario of the present options that they have, other than trading for Nolan Arenado. Do it. I don't understand it, man. And anybody who's against it, explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old to take Denzel, since we're doing movies, that's Denzel Washington in Philadelphia. Explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old. Another great movie. Tom Hanks, back-to-back best actor. Can you give me the other film? 2 years in a row, Tom Hanks, back-to-back best actor. 93, 94. What do you got? I just said the movie, so now I know you're not listening.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, there you go. And
you said Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. That is true.
What's just called Philadelphia?
Just called Philadelphia. And... wrapping it all together like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode or a Seinfeld episode, the hit song from the movie was On the Streets of Philadelphia by Bruce Springsteen. So it worked out perfect. Let's go to Ralph in Bradley Beach. What's up, Ralph?
What's going on? I can't believe that you're a Seahawk. East Rockaway rocks. And we got killed by you guys.
Wait, in East Rockaway, you got killed by the Cary Seahawks?
Yeah, this is 1972 now.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah.
In basketball, there was this kid called Lucci Outwater. He was a tree. And we took care of basketball.
I got it. Thank you, Ralph. The Monkees? Hey, we're the Monkees. People say we monkey around. They kind of started, I believe, as far as I know, as like a comic spoof on the Beatles. But they had a couple of good songs. Last Train to Clarkstown. I took the last train to Clarksville. Last Train to Clarksville, obviously. Cheer up, Sleepy Jean. Oh, what can it mean? To a daydream believer. So there's Daydream Believer, Last Train to Clarksville. I feel like I'm missing one that was a hit from them.
The theme's good. Hey, we're the Monkees.
Yeah, Hey, we're the Monkees. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. I thought there was a third one that was a hit. Those are the two hits. But yeah, the show was, I remember watching them. See the Monkees live? I'm sure they were pretty good musicians. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
All right, Chris, let's go. How about A Day in the Life?
I'm a believer. That's the other song. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer. And then there was Seven Valley Sunday. There was Valerie. And there was a couple others. Okay. And my favorite Beatles song was A Day in the Life from Sgt. Pepper. Yes. The one you lead off 4 o'clock, Good Morning, Good Morning.
Yes.
And that leads into Sgt. Pepper Reprise, which leads into A Day in the Life.
Yes.
So, and then my favorite, I have two favorite Beatle albums.
Okay.
The Acid album, which was Revolver, and the Hashish album, which was Rubber Soul.
Is that, I've never heard them referred to as that. I mean, the acid album?
Yes. And Hashish. And how do I know that? Well, I listened to Channel 18 on SiriusXM.
Yeah, I've never heard them called that. I mean, it makes sense. The Rubber Soul was first, so that's when they first started getting into pot. They got into pot with Bob Dylan.
Yes.
And then, LSD started. I mean, I would have...
No, that LSD was not what you're thinking. Why it was called LSD, John Lennon's son, Julian, came home with a picture of a girl named Lucy.
Yes.
And she was in like a sky thing with diamonds around it. That's how they got the name of that song.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying LSD was actually the name of the drug, and people think Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is a euphemism for LSD. Yes, but I don't know.
That's the furthest thing from the truth. But the Monkees, they were a spoof. It was a spoof, and it was a big. They were a big hit for a couple of years.
Yeah, all
right. And, you know, I mean,
what's your Aaron Judge point?
Aaron Judge. He's the best. He's the best hitter in baseball right now, and he's the best player. Juan Soto, like you just said, he doesn't run the bases well, and he's not a good fielder. And how do we put it that way? Well, last night I was watching I was watching the Yankeeography about number 7, and that just makes me want to cry.
Yeah,
about the Mick. I love Mickey and I love Roger, both of them.
I'm sure you do. Everyone who grew up in the era, my dad was a huge Mickey Mantle fan. Everyone loved Mickey Mantle, no doubt. Soto's a great player. I'm not trying to knock Soto in any way. I'm very upset he didn't stay with the Yankees. He's a great player, but he's not as good as Aaron Judge. I don't think that's not a Yankee take being, that's just what it is. Look at his numbers. Who won the MVP? Who's had the better year over the last 3 years? It's not even close. Even with the injury, right? So you want to say that Soto had the better year in 23 because Judge missed some time. But look at the numbers while he was playing. When Judge plays, he's better than Soto. And it's been for a while. But Soto has won a World Series and was a huge part of it. And then Soto performed better in this last postseason than Judge did. So... again, if it's all about the postseason, which everybody tells me it is, then I guess I have a different opinion. Because to me, it's about 162, and Judge is the better player. Paul in East Meadow. What's up, Paul?
Hey, bud.
What's up?
Trying to go through your Franklin Square sports heroes. I'm a Cary High School graduate from 1982.
Okay.
Way before you.
Yeah, about 19 years before me, yes.
There you go. So, first correction, famous Amos Arroway went to Meppham High School.
He didn't go to Meppham.
Yes, he did.
Are you sure?
Yes, he did. I am absolutely sure. My wife went to West Ham.
Okay. Meppham.
Yeah, Meppham and Belmore.
That's I know Meppham. We lost to him every year. I freaking hate Meppham.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I don't remember. I could have sworn he was on a different team. I'd have to double check that, but go ahead.
Sure, no problem.
What do you got?
You mentioned
what
West Ham said, Don McPherson. Anyway, Al Weiss was the most famous Franklin Square sports resident. New York Mets, 1969, Mets hero.
Al Weiss went to H. Frank Cary High School?
He didn't go to Cary High School, I don't think. Because I don't think it was around back then.
Right,
it might not have been around. Probably went to Sewanica.
Yeah.
But but he was Franklin Square's okay. Franklin Square's own.
No, no. If it's just Franklin Square, then you also throw in Vinny Testaverde.
And you also throw in Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny Testaverde. Well, I was talking strictly age. I was talking my high school. But you're right. That's
very
fine.
Good.
And it's interesting. I'm cool. Yeah. No. Vinny Testaverde was from Franklin Square as well. What's that?
Al Weiss was Farmingdale High School.
Okay, Farmingdale High School. Vinny Testaverde. I know he played for the Franklin Square Warriors. I think there's even a, which was the little, you know, whatever you call it, Pee Wee Football League. I played for the Warriors too. And I think he said it on one of the Monday nights, like one of those where they introduce the offense. And, you know, some guys, most people say college, some guys even say high school. I'm pretty sure on one occasion, Vinny Testaverde said Franklin Square Warriors. But Vinny Testaverde was a Franklin Square guy. But he didn't go to, I forget which high school he went to, probably Sewanica or Elmont maybe. But I'm pretty sure he grew up in Franklin Square. I know he played for the Franklin Square Warriors. But he did not go to my high school. We were talking about alum of the H. Frank Harry High School. Which, as far as I know, Al Troutwig, Rich Davis of Catino and Rich was a brief show on SMY, obviously also XM Radio, and myself. And me and Rich were both in, he was a senior when I was in eighth grade, and we were both in the production of Anything Goes. In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking, but now God knows anything goes. John and Maspeth, what's up, John?
C-Mac, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy? How we doing?
Listen, I'm looking at Jason Dominguez, can't catch a foul ball, can't play left field. You know what? You know what someone's got to do in the organization?
What's that?
Someone's got to send a bat signal out.
For
who else? Who else? Who else to learn how to play left field at Yankee Stadium?
Brett Gardner?
Then to learn from Brett Gardner, baby. Bring him down to Tampa as an instructor. Come on.
Yeah, listen, I think the Yankees would do it. I don't think he would do it. I think he's bitter.
Listen,
I think he's bitter.
You get Judge to talk to him or something, man. You get some of these veterans to talk to him. Tell him to bury the hatchet. Come down to Tampa, be an instructor, try to mentor Dominguez. Play some left field.
He'll play. He'll be. I'm really not that worried about him in left field. I'm really not. And listen, I would love Brett Gardner to come down. I'm not saying bring Brett Gardner down. That'd be tremendous. I don't think he's happy with the Yankees right now, but. They don't need Brett Gardner to teach this kid left field. He's going to get it. It's spring training. Oh, you got Vinny Testaverde. Hold on. But, yeah, no, I mean, he's going to be fine. He's 22 years old. He's learning left field, the ball coming off the bat a little bit. He didn't really play it, and they got thrown into the situation because most kids who can play center field can play left. He needed some time with it. He's 22. He has all month left in spring training. He's going to do nothing but work in left field every single day for a month, and then even going into the season. And the three plays are what he lost in the sun, and this last one was tough. Should he have made it? Yeah, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't like a dropped fly ball. Like, that was a tough bullet. That was a long line drive to the right left center field gap. Like, that wasn't an easy play. Should have made it, but wasn't easy. A good left fielder makes it, no problem, and he didn't, but like, I'm not overly worried about Jason Dominguez. Let him see if he can hit. Can he hit? Because if he can hit, I want him. All right, so this is, do you know what game, anything like that? Nope.
Monday Night Football, 2005, October 24th.
October 24th, and what team is Vinny on? Is he on the Jets?
Vinny's
the
on the Jets, yeah. Playing against Michael Vick and the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh,
Atlanta.
Very interesting. All right, so this is the introduction segment of Monday Night Football, Vinny Testaverde.
Vinny Testaverde, Franklin Square Warriors.
Damn right. Vinny Testaverde, Franklin Square Warriors. You bet your ass. Franklin Square Warriors. My first coach, Frank Mungo. Frank, if you're out there, thank you for the help. Lost a ton of weight. I have a lot of bad memories from Franklin Square Warriors, though. I have a lot of bad weight memories and having to be weighed in. You would go to these, Warrior one wasn't that bad. You'd go on these road games, right? And I'll never forget it. You go on these road games, and you go to, you'd have to weigh in. And you were allowed to have, you had to have certain pads on, certain pads you could take off. Like, you could take off your thigh and knee pads. You could take off your rib cage, but you had to have your shoulder pads on. You had to have your cleats on. You had to have a certain number of things, and then you had to have a weight. There was a weight limit, so you get weighed before every game. It wasn't just like before the week. You would go to these road games, and they would weigh you there. And you would walk into like this shed where they had the scale, and there's like four guys. And, you know, thinking about it now, it feels like I could paint the picture if I was making a movie. Like, you walk in, there's four guys, they're smoking cigarettes. I'm taking my knee pads off to get weighed in. They're all sitting there. It's like a dark, sweaty room. I get on the scale, and they're like, sorry, 5 pounds over. And then I'd walk out all dejected, and my father would be running at me with a bagel and a knish because I haven't eaten all morning because I'm trying to get underweight. Wasn't the best. And every week, and I'm just kidding. Nothing ever happened to me. Everybody was above board. I'm just saying it felt like that. You would get, every week the weight would go up. You can get heavier as the season went on. But I just, so like by week four or something, like week three, I was always good no matter what. It was enough weight where I was good enough. But like, what bothered me was, like, we had a running back, I forget his name now. If he wasn't like 2 feet tall and weighed 15 pounds, and I'm like, there's no floor. Like, this kid, a stiff breeze is going to knock him over, but he's fine. Like, why the hell, what's the weight limit here? Stupid. And I'll never forget that. Me and my buddy, my best friend Mike Lieb, I talked about him the other day when he tried to steal my Now This Is Music 2 CD. But me and him would always have to get weighed in, and our fathers would be waiting there with our breakfast because we didn't eat all morning. Because we were getting we knew we'd have to go in to get weighed in. But the road ones were the worst because you walked into some unknown shack, like the league guy is there with the, like, making sure nobody's over the limit. Like, you walk in, you're taking your pads off, you're taking your shoes off, you're getting on the scale, you get dejected, and what do you get for your troubles? A knish with no mustard.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:46, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get back to the calls. I feel like I've yapped a lot today. We've had a lot of just off-the-beaten-path topics, Franklin Square, which, by the way, Cary High School, you know, give me a call, man. I'll come talk. I haven't heard thing one from you except the great former principal, Dolan, has reached out to me on social media, and Miss Natalie, my former math teacher, who was very disappointed in me because I was good at math and I didn't care. Like that's when the teacher gets mad at you. I was the king with math. I would get a 90 or a 95 in the first marking period and then knew I could just coast with 60s the rest of the way and not care and just like not do homework and pass the test and everything. And she didn't like that. But look at me now talking Gene Hackman at 2:30 in the morning. Who would have guessed it? Ha ha! Joke's on you, Matt in Waterbury. What's up, Matt? What's up, Matt?
Hey, how you doing, buddy? Hey, Mr. Mattician over here. How you doing?
Good. Yes. What's up?
Yeah, I just threw my boots on. About to throw my coat on. Cemetery. Remember, I think I talked to you. Remember?
You work at the cemetery?
Yeah, I'm about to, you know, hit Dunkin' Donuts and heading my way. You know.
Yeah. No, listen, a little Dunkin', get a little get your morning going.
Yeah, you know, I got like 3,800 points. I don't even know how to use a damn thing.
Oh, you got to figure. You got to ask someone how to use the points. You got 38. How do you know? If you don't know how to, how do you know you have 3,800 points and not know how to use them?
Well, my girl told me, she's like, listen, she set me up with the app, and I go, okay, and so I use it, and I'm like, so try to use it. Like, I don't even know how to do it. Like, you get like 100 points on a Monday, like if you order ahead or something. I don't know. I don't care. Well, I keep buying from there. She's loading up.
Well, ask them if you can get a free cup of coffee with your points. I'm sure you can.
I don't know, dude. I don't care. I mean, really.
Okay. You brought up the points, man.
No, but dude, I'm an idiot for spending 75 trips alone.
Yeah, I know.
I stopped doing that.
We bought a nice coffee maker. I make my own coffee. I can't afford to shop at no matter how many points. I can't go to Starbucks or Dunkin'.
No, but listen, it's literally right next to the cemetery. I get my hair cut, and then right next to that is Dunkin' Donuts. I can't escape it. Either way.
Fresh cut in the coffee. That's where it goes.
It is what it is. And she's decaf, and I'm not really a coffee drinker.
I don't understand decaf people. I don't understand. The whole point of the coffee is to get the calf. Like, why? What are we decaf?
No, but you know what? I took a sip of her coffee, and it was 5 sugars and 2 creams.
Wow.
And I was bouncing off the walls. It was pretty, yeah, it was sugary. Yeah, I'll tell you that.
I once went to school with a kid. I'm not kidding. This is what he got at Dunkin' Donuts. He ordered a large black coffee, 22 sugars.
22?
Large black coffee, 22
that's
sugars.
What is that? Like a gram of sugar? Like,
it's crazy. But I'll never forget it. It wasn't. It was like an acquaintance. It wasn't a good friend of mine, but we happened to be hanging out one day with some buddies, and we went to Dunkin'. I have no idea. I have no idea. But he got a large black coffee, 22 sugars. That's what he said.
Yeah, That's insane. That's a gram. That's 22 grams.
All I can tell you is what I heard.
If that was on the other side, like at a frat party, you know, the other thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, that's kind of probably the same height. I don't know. That's me. Something with sugar in it, I'm off the rails, you know?
I got you.
And that was, to bring up my point, back in the days, you're talking about high school.
Yeah.
In Waterbury, if you can look it up, in 89, 90, 91, we had our running backs, DeAndre Freeman.
Okay.
And his name was, and fullback was Jason Iverson, J.I., you know, way before, Allen I, A.I., and these two, it was like Bo Jackson and Marcus Allen, who played Tecmo Bowl. And I was, I just missed state championship runner-up. And the coach was Coach Granato, Cigar High School. It closed. They didn't want to go to 100 years. They made 99 years, and it closed the school down.
Really?
You should look it up. I'm telling you. Dude, these guys were, and I think DeAndre, yeah, he did change his name to a D with Muslim or something. Nice kid, you know. A friend of mine, he stayed at my house. My grandmother loved him. My grandmother was saying, she's like, oh, DeAndre, he was a beast. And I literally saw him against St. Paul in Bristol.
Yeah.
He bounced off. It was like playing Tecmo Bowl. He bounced off the guy, went to the next one, bounced off of him. It was like Barry Sanders and Bo Jackson. It was insane.
I mean, when you have a real elite high school athlete, at least when, because I went to, we're having fun talking high schools. It's, Friday morning. I've been on for 5.5 hours. For at least my school, because we didn't have scouts. I in jest talk about what kind of great high school football player I was. I played at a Division II college. A scout never sniffed my high school, but I was MVP. That's okay. And athlete of the year, of course. We all know that too. I got $600 to spend on textbooks. So the next time Sal, specifically Sal, because me and Sal are buddies, and he dismissed me so quickly at the idea of playing on the basketball team if they put a fan basketball team together, he dismissed me in a second. Like, I wasn't even a thought. Well, no, McMonagle's out. McMonagle's out? Athlete of the year, buddy. And part of that was being on the basketball team. Okay? And again, athlete of the year, that came with a $600 scholarship for textbooks. Did you get $600 for textbooks? I don't think so. That's right. Dismissing me. But when you have a legit excellent talent, he was a couple of years older than me. I forget what year he graduated, but we mentioned him a couple times now. He was drafted in 99. So, he was famous Amos Zeroway. I remember going to a game as a younger kid. And watching him play against Carey, it was a man amongst boys. It was he just ran through everyone. It was a different it oozed off of just watching. You're like, who is that? He does not belong here. He is on another level. And he ended up playing for the Steelers for 4 years. He was with Oakland and the Patriots. He went to West Virginia. I should ask Zoo. Zoo might have more stories, right? Zoo went to West Virginia. Famous Amos came and played against Carey, and it was... So, when you get that, when you have, a legitimate pro, even at high school, come to play, and you're just an average Long Island high school, it jumped off the page. Mark in Yonkers. What's up, Mark?
K-Mac.
Yo, buddy!
Listen, man, I do Uber at night,
okay,
and
cool.
If you're not there, it is not the same without you on the radio.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very
kind. You have definitely become my favorite sportscaster there, hands down.
Oh, well, that's very kind. Thank you for forcing all your customers to listen to me. It's actually
if I don't call, I listen to you every night. I never miss an episode.
Oh,
I have two things to ask you that I want to know. Buddy Bean. Was he as good as everybody said he was going to be? Is that true?
Billy Bean?
Yes. Didn't he become the GM of the Oakland Athletics?
Yes. He was the GM of the... I think now he's up in the... he's the high up executive with Oakland, I think. I think he's still with them. He's just not the active GM. But Yeah, was he as good a GM as everybody says he was? Like the, you know.
No, they said he was the next Michael Jordan of baseball.
Oh, that I don't know.
As a player.
Yeah, no. I mean, I heard he was a legitimate prospect. I believe he was drafted by the Mets, and I only know that because I saw the movie. But he was drafted by the Mets. I think he was, reading stories, like he was a legitimate guy. He was a first-round pick. Like, he was a legitimate guy. But no, the Michael Jordan, I have never heard he was the level of prospect that was like some sort of, you know, the next great one. Like, I don't think he had like Bryce Harper kind of, you know, Bryce Harper was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a high schooler. Like, I don't remember ever hearing, and it would have to be hearing, I wouldn't remember it. I didn't live through it, but I don't ever remember reading or hearing that he was like some sort of super, super prospect. He was just a good prospect. Like, I'm trying to think when he was drafted by the Mets, what round he was.
It was the first round.
It was the first round,
right? 23rd overall, 1980.
23rd overall. So, I mean, that's, listen, he's a first round pick. Excellent baseball player, excellent prospect. But I've never heard he was the Michael Jordan of prospects, no.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omised, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omised.com. That's Almased.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.